Orale, bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm your host, Jorge Martin. And hey, you know what? We've got a great show for you today. First off, we're on YouTube. Please make sure to give us a like and subscribe. And we are a proud member of the Fantasy Points Media Group. Please make sure you, when you go to fantasypoints.com, get 10% off. When you get the great content, you got it from John Hansen, Graham Barfield, Tom Brawley, gosh, I mean, just a host of people. Scott Barrett, everybody. You got golf coverage. You got college football coverage. Everywhere. Go to fantasypoints.com and put in Familia 22, or if you want to do it in Spanish, Familia 22. Get 10% off. So we got a great guest for you. Oh, I'm telling you, this is someone who is highly recommended. It came from buena amiga of the show, Carmen Vitale. So she was our guest last year, but she's moved on to the Draft Network. I'm telling you, Greg Allman, mi amigo, thank you so much. He's from The Athletic. He does a great job of covering the Bucks. Has done it for almost a decade. Just a great job for working for The Athletic. I tell you, I've been a subscriber since 2018, and I've just loved the work that comes out of there. So, mi amigo, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
So first off, quite the offseason. Tom Brady retired, unretired, new coaching staff, everything. But here's the thing. New head coach, but it's basically so much of the same coaching staff. He's got Byron Leftwich, which still is his offensive coordinator. This is an offense that threw over 700 times last year. Are we just looking at more of the same when it comes to Brady, even though he's going into his age 45 season?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. You keep expecting some kind of drop off at the end of his career, and we just haven't seen it yet. So no, if anything, this should be very much status quo. Todd Bowles ran the defense last year. He'll still kind of be in charge of it here. Byron Leftwich obviously had a lot of input from Bruce Arians last year, but was very much calling the plays and working with Brady. So probably as low change in terms of continuity as you can ask for with a coaching change with Todd Bowles taking over.
And when it comes to Brady, it's such. What was it where he took a step forward in the offense last year? Because he was even better than after that great finish.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, did really well his first year here. Had already set some team records. He's in a position where he's going to, you know, on pace to break the team career record for touchdowns in three seasons. Where you come on board at age 43, you can still break a team's career passing record. That's strange. I think he's had great people to throw to, has people he knows well in Rob Gronkowski, has the guys that he kind of inherited here in Mike Evans, in Chris Godwin. And then they took advantage of their depth last year. I mean, they had some injuries at receiver. They had injuries at running back. Probably made them throw a bit more than they would have liked to, but prolific numbers and probably more of the same coming for Tom Brady in 22 here.
And that's saying something. Over 5,000 yards. I mean, just the touchdowns were number two. It is his second biggest output since the 50 touchdown season. I mean, we're talking about a top 10 quarterback from the fantasy standpoint. And yeah, you're right. No drop off. That is the amazing thing.
Yeah, at age 44, it's unprecedented. You really don't have any quarterbacks with any more than like a spot start here or there in NFL history. And he not only has the full season, but Pro Bowl, if not MVP caliber numbers.
Yeah, I just can't do the avocado ice cream. So the TB12 method is one thing. Let's look at the running backs real quick. Leonard Fournette came back last year on kind of like a make good contract. He did. He was very much the bell cow. Sometimes we call him the lead caballo on our show here. Catching passes out of the backfield, very much someone who's getting a heavy workload. He did kind of miss a couple games at the end, but are we looking at a similar workload for Leonard Fournette this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this time last year, everyone was trying to figure out if it was Ronald Jones or Fournette that was going to be the main guy, and that got answered really quickly. I mean, I think Fournette not only was the primary back, but cribbed into the third down role that I think a lot of people had Gio Bernard in. Did everything for him. I mean, and again, got paid as such. To get $7 million a year, they're going to be using him in every aspect. If anything, they'll be careful just not to do too much to keep him healthy for the end of the season. The, you know, they have a rookie in Rashad White that should help, that should be a solid. I think he'll end up being the number two back, at least in terms of fantasy. They have Keyshawn Vaughn, who's a third year back, has filled in real sparingly in his first 2 years. They have Gio Bernard back, again, most logically in that pass catching kind of role when Leonard Fournette isn't in that role. So you have four backs, and probably the upside of the four in terms of being more than expected is probably with White as a rookie that they like and just has to prove himself to coaches now.
And you wrote about him that they liked that he was not just working out on the field, but very much it looked like he was studying and really getting the playbook down. Do you see him more threat in the passing game this season than the running game?
I mean, he was a fairly prolific catcher in college. I think they liked that aspect of it. So I think he's in a position where what gets you on the field, what keeps you off the field is pass protection and their confidence in your ability to keep Tom Brady upright and healthy. So once he clears that, once he shows he can pick up blitzes and understands the coverage and all that, I think he has more upside than what they see on either Vaughn or Bernard. So it's just a matter of comfort level and getting in. So what he does in week one might be very different from what he does in week 11. You know, I think initially their weeks where they only dress three backs. So I don't know if he's an obvious week one, you know, on the 46. But I think as they get into things, as they understand things better with what he can do and what they have confidence in him, his role should only grow.
So let's talk about the wide receivers. A little bit, Chris Godwin coming off the late season ACL, you know, talking about a 9 to 10 month, and that's being optimistic. A lot of times this is a 1 year injury for a guy. I mean, it could be in like maybe the first half of the season during that he's really slowed down or maybe even out for a chunk of that. How much does this make Mike Evans a clear cut number one, and then maybe open the door for Russell Gage to become more of a factor?
Yeah, I think the Godwin injury definitely helps Chris's timetable is what helps Mike Evans probably get solidified as the number one touchdown threat, probably going to be the number one guy in targets and all those kind of things. You know, we don't know. Godwin could be their week one, could be back to himself. I think so much of what they want and need with Chris Godwin is to have him healthy when it's important at the end of the season. So I think that's more important than having him back in week one. They have a really tough first month of the season, but I don't think it's so much that you'd rush him or put him out there before they're comfortable doing so. The nice thing is that in getting Russell Gage from Atlanta this offseason, he's getting $10 million a year. So, I mean, he's getting number two receiver money, which is what he'll be until Godwin is healthy. And those are really your top three. I mean, those three should be the brunt of the playing time when they're all healthy. The depth behind them will be a really good competition. I think between like 4 and 9, there's a ton of guys, you know, guys that have been there for a couple of years, like Tyler Johnson, like Scotty Miller, Jalen Darden's only been there a year. Other guys that are kind of wild cards in this, like Cyril Grayson and Brashad Perriman. They got a couple undrafted rookies. So it's harder to peg those roles and who's going to be the 4, 5, and 6 receivers. But when they're healthy, those top three will be as good as a top three as there is in the league, probably.
No, and you were talking about a little bit about Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller a little bit. I mean, are they more wild cards for on a week-to-week basis rather than someone that could be maybe?
I mean, I think of Tyler Johnson as being the four right now. He had like 55 targets last year, kind of was the guy that had the biggest opportunity with the other receivers being out, whether it be Antonio Brown being out or Chris Godwin being out. Didn't necessarily take good advantage of it. Had no touchdowns, didn't really have any memorable catches. He had a couple of really big ones at the end of his rookie year, but I think most would say he disappointed. He didn't take advantage of a big opportunity there. But I think the trust is already there. I think he knows he has a chance to step up, you know, in his third year and be something at a higher level and a more relevant level than he has been. Scotty Miller was nearly absent. I mean, he missed first half of the year dealing with a turf toe injury. You know, you go back to the first half of 2020, their Super Bowl season, he's their number one. He's leading the team in receiving yards halfway through the year. And then with the arrival of Antonio Brown, which just kind of was marginalized, then got hurt, you know, ends up having less than 100 yards of impact last year, had a rushing touchdown late, but that's really about all he did. So Scotty Miller's fighting for a roster spot. I mean, if you don't help on special teams and you're a fifth or sixth receiver, your job is in danger. So he could very well be back healthy and be a 30 catch guy like he was 2 years ago. But if he's not careful, he'll be playing on another NFL team.
Oh, Yeah, gotta love it. So I want to move over to the offensive line. I always like to ask an offensive line question. This is one of the top ranked offensive lines according to Pro Football Focus. Definitely dealt with some injuries, especially in that late in that playoff game against the Rams. Everything looking like full speed ahead on these guys being you know, returning. You got Ryan Jensen coming back in the middle, and then you got the two big tackles on the side. Still looking like a formidable group.
Should be. Yeah. I mean, they lost both their guards. Alex Kappa signed with the Bengals. Ali Marpet kind of retired surprisingly at 28. They got Shaq Mason from the Patriots, which, you know, very capably fills in on the right side, you know, where Alex Kappa was. Left guard's a little bit more of a question mark. They took a guy in the late second round named Luke Getteke from Central Michigan. They like him a lot. They have a veteran named Aaron Stinney, a guy who had stepped in as a starter in the Super Bowl in the playoffs 2 years ago. It's probably going to be Getteke's job, I think, with the season gets going. They like him a lot, traded up to get him in the second round. So it'll be, you know, an uncertainty, a rookie in the middle of that line, but somebody they really like and somebody I think by the end of the year they'll trust very well.
And I like to kind of finish off with asking about the defensive side. This was one of the best teams against the run last year, and it has been for the past three seasons, Todd Bowles being the still being going to be the defensive play caller. I mean, it was the big change going from Ndamukong Suh to Akeem Nicks on the defensive front. And it's, but I mean, again, this is a Super Bowl contending team. It's full speed ahead against the run.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said, Ndamukong Suh is out. Jason Pierre-Paul is out. That's two big losses. That's two veteran leaders on the front of this defense. But bringing in Akeem Hicks very much steps into a Suh type role. Him and Vita Vea together on a defensive line is just two massive presences in the middle of that line. They're both about 350 pounds. They used their highest draft pick in the second round on Logan Hall, who will be a pass rushing defensive end for them in that 3-4 front. Joe Tryon Shoyinka, a guy that was their first round pick last year, you know, he takes over for Pierre Paul, steps into a starting role. He'll be busy there. So definitely some uncertainty because that's, you know, that's two big faces that are gone as leaders, as every down people on that front of the defense. So you don't know how they'll be replaced, but they're excited about the young guys and Hicks stepping in and filling in for them that way.
And against on the defensive side of the ball, you recently wrote a feature on the DBs, cornerbacks, talking about how they wanted to get more interceptions on the season and everything like that. The defense against the pass took a little bit of a step backward. Teams were able to throw more. Is there going to be kind of more renewed emphasis on defending the pass this season?
No, I think so. I mean, they were decimated by injuries at corner last year. They lost Sean Murphy Bunting in the first quarter of the season. They lost Carlton Davis for, I think, seven games in the middle of the year. Safeties, they were missing Antoine Winfield at times. So they definitely weren't at full strength much of anything last year. And that showed. I think any team, if you lose two or three DBs out of your top five, there's going to be a drop off. You know, they still were questionable when they were at full strength. So, I mean, they've got to be part of the reason they were so good against the run is that teams were passing very capably against them. No team had NFL teams throw against them more than the Bucs did last year. So I think they'll be more solid as they're healthy. You know, they brought Carlton Davis back on a big contract. Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting are now free agents at the end of the season. Mike Edwards is a free agent this season. So a lot of these young guys are at the end of their rookie deals. This is kind of prove it years, important years for them as they're trying to set their value in free agency next spring. So I think they'll be much improved. The story you mentioned, they've gone up in interceptions every year under Todd Bowles. They want to do the same. The corners haven't necessarily had. The corners have had exactly seven interceptions each of the 3 years under Todd Bowles. That's a number that can really go up a lot higher. I think they're a defense that's had a lot of passes defense. They get their hands on a lot of passes, but they probably haven't taken advantage of getting turnovers, getting picks. And that's where they'd like to be. I don't think they've had a guy with five interceptions on this team since 2013 when Lavonte David did it. I think it's the second longest streak in the NFL. So I think they'd like to have that, whether it's Carlton Davis that does that, whether it's Antoine Winfield. They need to get more prolific in picking passes off and changing games with turnovers that way.
And one last one. I mean, And one of the articles you wrote, one of the players, I think it was Fournette, was quoted as talking about like leaving something on the field out there in that last game. Yeah. I mean, teams are definitely, they turn the page, but how much is there just knowing that they were in the Super Bowl, after the 2020 season, and they were really close to beating the eventual Super Bowl champions. And knowing that the window is very small with Tom Brady being 45 years old, how much is that just kind of a driving force for this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those where, you know, Tom Brady, you measure his success in the postseason in January and February and how far you get in the playoffs. So a second round exit for the Bucs would have been dreamy most years. But again, with Brady coming off a championship, that's a terrible disappointment. That's something they let get away. I think both sides of the ball feel that way. Offensively, they struggled so bad early on, you know, to be down whatever it was, 27-3. Everybody's responsible for that. So I think the fact that they got back, the fact that they were able to tie the game and then lose it in the last minute, it just makes it all the harder to process that, to deal with that in the offseason. I think it's been a big motivation for them. They get the Rams again this year. I think that's probably one of their biggest obstacles to getting the Super Bowl is dealing with the Rams, dealing with the Packers. Those are probably the two teams in the best position to challenge and be ahead of them even for the expectations on the NFC side of things. So, no, this is a team that will – carry all the expectations and motivations that Tom Brady has to do it now. He's 45 this fall. I mean, you don't want to say it's a last year for him because he's obviously done that several times. I think this is a team that will have an urgency and an immediacy all year long to win the division again, to get good seating so Tom Brady has home playoff games, and to try and send him out as a champ.
Yeah, it's been like 5 to 10 years of his last year in the NFL. So,
right.
The people have been writing him off. I'm never going to write him off.
He does. And as he showed, even when he retires, give him time, you might rethink that.
Yeah, exactly. Last one, fun one. You know, this is the only Latino focused English podcast for fantasy football. So I love to ask a Mexican food question. What are your favorite tacos? You've been able to travel with the team for all over the place. Any favorite spots for getting them, and which ones are your favorites?
I miss San Diego is like fish taco capital of the world. So I miss that San Diego isn't on the NFL travel schedule. Los Angeles was always great for that. I'm trying to think where else has great Mexican on the road for the Bucs. And there's not really an obvious one. I just spent a week in Costa Rica, in Central America, which was awesome. Had some amazing food down there. Had the pinto for breakfast and had all kinds of authentic Costa Rican food. So really enjoyed that. My kids eat Mexican food really well. So, I mean, we're hitting, burritos and nachos probably once a week here. I can definitely eat a blackened chicken burrito from any number of places here. We get the bowls from Chipotle. We go, T-Flats and Everwell's here in town. So, no, love Mexican food and probably more a nacho guy than a burrito guy right now. But, if you have food tips anywhere the Bucs are, let me know. And I'm happy to get them. Send me on Twitter where I should be going to eat on the road.
Definitely. Yes, please. Please send them over. Greg, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Go to The Athletic. But if you could point out your – I'm going to put it in the show notes, but if you could point out your Twitter handle real quick.
Yeah, Twitter is just my name, just Greg Aumann, GREGAUMAN. Thanks to everybody on board as a subscriber already. If you're not, you can get on at theathletic.com just for $1 a month right now, which is a great deal to get a ton of content there from all our NFL and all our writers across lots of sports. Thanks again for having me, though.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And yeah, familia, again, as a 4-year subscriber, and I mean, there is great historical stuff. I mean, there is just a treasure trove in any sport. You got it. Year-round, fantastic coverage. Obviously, great beat writers like Greg. Muchas gracias, Greg. Muchas gracias. And to you, familia, thank you for joining us. Please, again, if you want to get your subscription to fantasypoints.com, use the promo code FAMILIA22. Get 10% off your subscription. Everything you got. You got fantasy football from the NFL. You got college football coverage. You got golf. Everything. Go get it there. And again, you can find me at Jorge Martin 17. You can find us at Familia FFB on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and go to familiaffb.com for original content. Otra vez, thank you to our invitado, Greg, and everybody. Muchas gracias. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.